Texas, America, the world. This is Mark Anthos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We hope to have a hookup with Mark Glenn later on this morning. He is on his way to Washington, D.C. He's literally somewhere between Minneapolis and Washington. Mark is going to Washington today to cover the USS Liberty Survivors reunion that is taking place on this, the 40th anniversary of Israel's deliberate attack upon that vessel. We're going to be talking about that whole event a little bit on an ongoing basis this morning. And hopefully at some point before show's end, we might have a hookup with Mark and with some of the survivors coming from Washington, D.C. to talk specifically about some of their memories of that day 4 decades ago. We shall see what happens. But in any event, we have a series of news stories to cover today. And we will be on this USS Liberty event in commemoration of the memory of those who lost their lives, as well as to rededicate ourselves to the larger issue of trying to get America back again to being an independent, autonomous nation and moving our domestic and foreign policy away from control by the Israeli lobby. If that should happen at some juncture, then maybe we can say that the lives of the fine people who were lost 40 years ago will have been worth it. Maybe we can say the same thing about the passing of Marquis J. McCants and some of the other fine young people who have recently lost their lives in Iraq. Only time will tell. You know, there was an interesting story in Thursday's edition of the Financial Times of London. I don't know if you saw it, but if you didn't see it, this has been going on since 1982. And this is the verdict on 5 suspects in God's banker's murder. Those suspects were cleared. Tony Barber writes from Rome that all 5 defendants in one of modern Europe's most mysterious murder mysteries were acquitted yesterday of killing Roberto Calvi, the Italian financier known as God's banker, on account of his illicit work via the Vatican's bank. The Rome court, where the case had been heard since October of 2006, acquitted 4 defendants on the grounds that there was insufficient proof that they had murdered Calvi. The court fully acquitted the 5th. The verdict was delivered almost exactly 25 years after Calvi was found hanging from Blackfriars Bridge in London, his clothes stuffed with bricks, stones, and large amounts of cash. The acquittals, which may be challenged by prosecutors, add to continuing uncertainty as to how Calvi died and why. Lawyers for the main defendants argue that Calvi, who was facing professional disgrace and personal ruin at the time of his death, had probably committed suicide, or at least that there was no incontrovertible proof he had been murdered. Prosecutors allege that Giuseppe Pippo Calo, a Sicilian mafia boss who was serving multiple life sentences for various crimes, had ordered Calvi's murder. The other defendants were Flavio Carboni, a Sardinian property developer who accompanied Calvi on the secret trip he made from Italy to the UK using a false passport just days before his death in 1982. Ernesto Diotalevi, a businessman with alleged ties to the Roman criminal underworld, and Silvano Vittore, a former smuggler who was Calvi's driver and bodyguard. Prosecutors had sought life prison terms for these 4. Manuela Kleinzig, the 5th defendant who was Mr. Carboni's mistress at the time of the murder, was found not guilty because the prosecutors themselves asked for her acquittal. Although British police in 1982 treated Calvi's death as a suicide, the authorities in Rome were convinced that it was linked to his connections with the Vatican's bank, the secret propaganda do, or P2 Masonic Lodge, and Italian political parties. We'll be back. This is Mark Gankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
We're back. This is Mark Anthos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. 40 years ago today, June the 8th, 1967, Israel attacked the USS Liberty. We lost a lot of people on that date, and that is a date that will live, quoting FDR or stealing from FDR, will live in infamy. Not only because of the fact that the total truth of what happened 40 years ago today has never been adequately explained, but because the explanations that we do have, the real ones, the legitimate ones, all seem to point in a most alarming direction. Mark Glenn has, of course, been bird-dogging this for the American Free Press, and one of the things that he has come up with is something that reason to believe involves something called Operation Cyanide. Operation Cyanide. How far we can take this investigation, we really don't know, but Mark has been attempting to contact Peter Hunan, the author of Operation Cyanide, to do a major story on this subject for the American Free Press. I, in fact, would like to have Peter Hunan on this show and have written him a letter asking him to come on. Whether he's going to be in a position to do that at some point coming to us from Britain, I do not know. But suffice it to say that when it comes to the USS Liberty, the fine people who were a part of that tragedy many, many years ago, 40 years ago today, will in some cases be talking with Mark Glenn later today in Washington, D.C. Mark's going out there to meet with them face-to-face and to cover their activities and to interview their family members and friends and to try and get at the bottom of what has really been going on in the lives of these folks since this happened exactly 40 years ago today, June the 8th, 1967. At some point this morning, I'm going to be going back and going through a little bit more of this war crimes report that was filed on the part of those who were attempting to look out for the best interests of those who were involved in this USS Liberty tragedy, lo, these 40 years ago. Those who care about the survivors have submitted to the Secretary of the Army in his capacity as executive agent for the Secretary of Defense on June the 8th, 2005, 2 years ago, a report on the war crimes that were committed against U.S. military personnel on this date 40 years ago by the State of Israel. And again, we've covered some of this on the show in some measure. Dave Lewis, Commander Dave Lewis, has been on. Gary Brummett has been on the show. Phil Turney has been on. Those are three of the survivors that I have interviewed personally on this network. And the story that they have to tell is an absolutely incredible one. And so this morning I would urge you to remember these people, those who have lost their lives as well as those who remain, and to take a look this morning at USSLiberty.org. If you want to get a real feel for what happened 40 years ago, such as we currently know it, take a look at USSLiberty.org, and that will give you at least enough of a background on this to understand some of the specifics of what did happen as we know it 4 decades ago. Eric Margolis has written a marvelous piece that goes back 6 years, I believe, on the USS Liberty. You can find that one at lourockwell.com, and I believe also at the Toronto Sun. James Ennis, who is a USS Liberty survivor, has written a major story on this for the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs, which is well worth your time as well. And at some point this morning, we might might revisit both of those articles in order to commemorate the memories of those who lost their lives, as well as the pain and sorrow of those who remain. Back just briefly to this story from yesterday in the London Financial Times, Thursday, June 7th, on page 8. Tony Barber again reports from Rome that five suspects in God's banker's murder have been cleared. This, of course, gets back to the death in 1982 of Roberto Calvi, who was found hanging from Blackfriars Bridge in London. Calvi was the individual who was doing Vatican banking, for the Banco Ambrosiano, which, of course, was up to its eyeballs in all kinds of illegal activities. And in the case of Calvi, there were five people who had been charged with his murder. All five have been acquitted, and these names, again, are Giuseppe Pippo Callo, a Sicilian mafia boss, who is serving multiple life sentences for various other crimes. The prosecution was alleging that he had ordered Calvi's murder. The other defendants are, in turn, Flavio Carboni, a Sardinian property developer who accompanied Calvi on the secret trip he made from Italy to the UK using a false passport just days before Calvi's death in 1982. Ernesto Diotalevi is yet another individual, a businessman with alleged ties to the Roman criminal underworld. Silvano Vittore, former smuggler who was Calvi's driver and bodyguard. And then finally, Manuela Kleinzig, the fifth defendant who was Mr. Carboni's mistress at the time of the murder. All five have been acquitted. And, of course, the British police, amazingly enough, in 1982, treated Calvi's death as a suicide, but authorities in Rome were convinced that it was linked to his connections with the Vatican's bank, the secret propaganda do, or P2 Masonic Lodge, and Italian political parties. So there's the conspiracy as the Italian authorities believe it existed, that the individuals whose names that I have read here were linked in the opinion of the Roman authorities, were linked to the Vatican's bank, the so-called Banco Ambrosiano, to the secret propaganda do or P2 Masonic Lodge, and to various Italian political parties. The long and the short of it is that these five have been acquitted. No one really knows at this point where this leaves the ongoing investigation of the Roman authorities, but it does beg the question as to what propaganda do or P2 Masonic Lodge really is. We may never know the full story on this Calvi murder. And I believe that it was a murder. The British authorities, for reasons unknown, insisted at the time that it was a suicide. But the fact of the matter is that when we get into the details of this case as we currently know them, it's apparent that something was being concealed, and that this has now gone on for 25 years. It's really hard to believe that a quarter of a century has transpired since the death of Roberto Calvi, who was found hanging from Blackfriars Bridge in London. But there's one thing that we do know, and that is that dead men tell no tales, at least this side of eternity. And what the truth is about the Vatican's banking activities, what the truth is about the propaganda do, D-U-E, the propaganda do, or P2 Masonic Lodge, what the truth of that is, we'll never know, probably. And how the various Italian political parties shake down in this whole thing is something that remains to be seen, but will be fully uncovered probably on the other side of eternity. But it is interesting that the London Financial Times did report on these acquittals in yesterday's edition, Thursday, June 7th, on page 8 in the World News section. And this is where it sits. 25 years later, we have five suspects who have been cleared. And who knows where this case goes from here. That is reported to us by Tony Barber from Rome with the London Financial Times. And that's simply just where we have to leave it. Much like the Kennedy assassination, there are certain things that we know, as well as other things that we do not know and may never know about what really happened on November the 22nd, 1963. We will simply leave it there. I really enjoyed my conversation yesterday, by the way, with Jerome Corsi of WorldNet Daily and Human Events and the Constitution Party. And it was really fun as well to have Brian Malatesta on this show from the Texas Constitution Party. Both of these guys had a lot to say. I don't think that there's anything more that I need add at this particular point, except to say that with Jerome Corsi, I fully affirm his particular understanding of what is going on with the North American Union and with the whole business of the Security and Prosperity Partnership for North America. I share his absolute disgust with what is going on with the major presidential candidates in the Republican Party, but do not share Mr. Corsi's understanding of Zionism and the State of Israel and what he sees essentially as a friendship between this country and Israel. I don't think that Jerome Corsi necessarily dealt particularly well yesterday with the whole issue of the history of Zionism. I don't think we can forget that history. I don't think that we can pretend that it doesn't exist. I don't think that we can say that it doesn't continue to have reverberations for the whole business today of the tragedy of American foreign policy in the Middle East. The fact is that what happened in 1947 and in 1948 with Israel and with Palestine and with the UN partition and with all of the things that followed, those tragedies, which include, of course, the terrorist activities of Menachem Begin and Yitzhak Shamir, those things, folks, cannot be seen in isolation from the present quandary that we have in that part of the world. It just continues to deepen. And when we look at the past, as it relates to Israel, it seems to me at the same time that we're looking at the present. What about Israel's dropping of these cluster bombs in southern Lebanon in this last conflict? George Cody of the American Task Force for Lebanon has been on to discuss that. What about all of these other things related to targeted killings and assassinations, Israel's occupation policy in the West Bank and Gaza, and the much wider climate that it has created for us in the Middle East? It's not going to go away. The quicksand continues to deepen. We'll be back.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, Clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com, 800-409-5633.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. 40 years ago today, Israel attacked the USS Liberty. I would urge all of you listening to this broadcast to go to ussliberty.org and look at the official survivor site, which chronicles what is known about what happened 40 years ago. I think we're still trying to get at the bottom of this whole thing in terms of its implications. This is the fascinating thing to me about history, folks. You can have something that happens that appears to be one thing that might in fact be another. And sometimes it takes not days and weeks or even months or even a handful of years, but decades to really begin to uncover the full impact and the full context of a particular circumstance that has transpired in world history. And I think clearly this USS Liberty tragedy is a part of that. Mark Lend continues to troubleshoot that at the American Free Press. And I hope at some point that he and I are successful in making contact with Peter Hunan, the author of Operation Cyanide, because Hunan, I think, has the best spin that anyone currently has in regard to the larger context of what really happened 40 years ago today. And at some point, I'd like to get him on this show. I would love for Mark Glenn to be able to contact Peter in order that AFP could do some major coverage on this whole business of Operation Cyanide. What was it? What was really behind Israel's unprovoked and deliberate attack upon the United States? Hunan comes closer to that truth than anyone else. And I think that quite clearly there are some incredible truths, dark truths, behind this whole situation that are continuing to reverberate in regard to what we presently see going on in the Middle East. By the way, Mark Glenn reminds me via text message. He is currently in transit between Minnesota and Washington, D.C., but he reminds me of what Gordon Thomas has said about the Roberto Calvi murder and the P2 Masonic Lodge scandal, as we find it in Gideon's Spies, The Secret History of the Israeli Mossad. If you've not read Gordon Thomas's book, it is well worth your time. It's a St. Martin's Press publication. I have a review of Gordon Thomas's work on my website, both Gideon's Spies as well as Seeds of Fire. But Mark Glenn reminds me that Gordon Thomas has said for publication in Gideon's Spies that the P2 Masonic Lodge scandal and the Roberto Calvi death and the Banco Ambrosiano situation with the Vatican involved money laundering for both the Central Intelligence Agency as well as for the Israeli Mossad. So, oh, good. So I understand that Mark Glenn is on the line with us at least for a few minutes this morning. Mark, how are you?
Marcus.
Where are you? Are you in Minneapolis?
I'm in incognito, as they say.
In Minneapolis?
Yes.
Well, at least it's not snowing there, I trust.
The storm.
You're breaking up on me, Mark. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm having a little... Yes. You're breaking up on me, Mark. Yes. So, well, folks, that was the end of Mark Glenn, hopefully temporarily. You know, and I think of all of the people that really don't like for Mark's stories to come out in AFP, I trust that, in fact, he's okay in Minneapolis, that we're dealing with nothing more than a bad cell phone situation. And I trust that he will have a safe trip to Washington, D.C., and then a safe return. He's back. You there, Mark?
Hello?
Yes, you there, Mark?
I'm here. Sorry about that.
Hey, no problem. What's going on?
Oh, I'm just sitting here in this hotel, and it's a beautiful day here in Minneapolis. Not like it was last night, though, when I got grounded. So, but I'm just waiting to head to the airport, and then I'm on to the Liberty reunion, and it's going to be quite an event.
Hey, by the way, I wanted to thank you, Mark. Mark's webmaster was helping me to get PayPal on my own website. I have never had PayPal before at markdankoff.com. I now have PayPal on the main page and on the links page and the articles page. And Mark Glenn's webmaster, whose name I would mention on the air, except I don't have clearance to mention it, he was kind enough to help me with that process. Thank you very much, Mark.
Well, actually, he's going to be with me at the reunion. He's going to be filming a little documentary that we're putting together for American Free Press.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it'll be available on DVD as soon as we can get it finished up. But it's going to be quite a thing, I think.
We'll be back with Mark Glenn from Minneapolis. He's on his way to Washington, D.C. Wanted to mention that his webmaster has also put on Mark's Crescent and Cross site a link to my blog at Al Bawaba in Amman, Jordan. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
We're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've got Mark Glenn on the line for at least a few minutes this morning, coming to us from Minneapolis. He was stranded there last night. We'll still be getting into Washington, D.C., hopefully this morning, in time to cover the USS Liberty Survivors Conference. And, of course, on June the 8th, 1967, 40 years ago today, Israel attacked the USS Liberty, did so deliberately in a most vicious, heinous fashion. The full implications of all of that are still being brought to the fore by people like Mark Glenn of the American Free Press and by Peter Hunan, the author of Operation Cyanide. And by the way, before we get back to Mark, I wanted to toot my own horn just for a second. I heard from Chalmers Johnson last night. For those of you who don't know Dr. Chalmers Johnson, He used to be involved in helping to prepare national intelligence estimates for the President of the United States back in the late 60s. He teaches. He's a tenured professor at the University of California in San Diego. And Chalmers Johnson is the author of this very famous trilogy on empire, American empire. The first one was The Sorrows of Empire. The second was Blowback. The latest is Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. This guy is one of the real heavyweights in this area. He writes last night to say to me, "Dear Mr. Dankoff, congratulations on your excellent review of the CIA in Iran, American Free Press. It has been very useful to have Congressman Ron Paul refocus attention on this history and on the blowback it generated. One cannot understand how such a historical incompetent as Rudolph Giuliani was not laughed off the stage as a result of his outburst. He has totally disqualified himself for the presidency, but this seems to have no effect on the suicidally inclined Republican voters. Best regards, Chalmers Johnson." You can find that latest review that I have of the American Free Press book, The CIA in Iran, on my blog for Al Bawaba, the Middle East Gateway in Amman, Jordan. AFP, I'm sure, will go to press with a review at some point. Matthias Chang has also published it on his Perdana Peace blog over in Malaysia. Mark, you still there?
I am.
Good. What do you anticipate is going to unfold here this weekend with this USS Liberty reunion?
Well, you know, they've had several reunions. I guess they started having them early in the 80s. And given the fact that it is the 40th, which, you know, there's always, I guess, with the passing of a decade each time, it becomes more... I don't know what you would call it, not nostalgic, but I think you understand what I'm trying to say. So,
yes.
You know, of course, with these guys, I mean, when you talk to them, as you know, because you have spoken with them, they live this thing every day. I mean, I speak with a lot of the survivors, not just on a weekly basis, but on a daily basis. And these guys remember this thing and live with this thing as if it happened yesterday. And so... I don't know that for them the 40th anniversary is going to have any more significance to it than the 10th anniversary or the 20th, other than the fact that obviously the more years that are compounded on this thing, obviously they have to become more and more bitter, particularly as they see what is taking place today, because all of these guys understand the implications, as you mentioned earlier, Mark, of what took place 40 years ago and how this pertains to us today. You see, the events of 40 years ago, basically, you know, in terms of the Six-Day War, this has changed the landscape of the entire world, but most importantly for us here in America, because we are fighting this war over there now in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and have basically undone 230 years of hard work and progress in building up this great nation. We have undone that 230 years of progress in the course of the last 40 years because of our insistence upon maintaining this alliance with this terrorist nation. So the fellas, you know, talking to them, and, you know, there was great anticipation in terms of them all getting together. But I really do expect that when I get there, that I'm going to hear a lot of bitterness, a lot of sadness, particularly, you know, as we go to Arlington National Cemetery, where we are going to be honoring the graves of those who lost their lives that day. And, I mean, how can you look at this thing and be a part of this thing and not feel bitterness and sadness, not just at the fact that 34 men lost their lives, but to this day, they are yet to receive the honors that are due to those who give their lives for their country.
What do you make of the fact, Mark? Yesterday on the show, I had Dr. Jerome Corsi once more, who is a member of the Constitution Party now. I suspect Dr. Corsi will be the Constitution Party's candidate for the presidency. We'll see how that plays out. But he's in Texas currently because there's a Constitution Party of Texas gathering this weekend at Washington on the Brazos River. Now, at any rate, Dr. Corsi was on, and also the chairman of the Constitution Party of Texas, Brian Malatesta. But in the last hour, I was primarily talking with Jerome Corsi. And this whole subject of Israel came up. I made it a point to bring it up because I have a lot of agreement with Jerome Corsi on other issues, particularly illegal immigration and the North American Union. But when it comes to Israel, the things that he has said on that subject for WorldNet Daily and for Human Events, I find myself taking great issue with. And I did bring up with Dr. Corsi yesterday the fact that you have a series of things related to Israel that tend not to come up with its supporters. One is the role of Menachem Begin and certainly Yitzhak Shamir in acts of terrorism at the time that the State of Israel was founded. That there's a very long history, as you know, behind that. I discussed Mike Piper's allegations about the Kennedy assassination. I mentioned the Levon affair in Egypt in the 1950s. Mentioned the Pollard spy case, which, of course, you have a current article on in AFP, and then discussed what many people, including myself, believe is the central role of Israel through American Jewish neoconservatives in promoting the present American military involvement in Iraq that Dr. Corsi claims that he's now opposed to. Why do you think Jerome Corsi and others like him take the particular spin that they do on Israel? Given what happened, among many other things, given what happened 40 years ago, I did mention, by the way, this USS Liberty incident to him as a part of this total package of problems that I just rehearsed for you. What do you think?
Well, it boils down to a very simple statement, Mark, and it is the same thing that the apostles, Jesus' followers, dealt with immediately after his crucifixion at the hands of these people, and it is this thing known as fear of the Jews. That is what it boils down to. Now, I know people, this makes people uncomfortable, but the fact of the matter is that had any other nation done to the United States what has happened to us in the last 40 years with regards to the attack, the Levon affair that you mentioned, the attack on the USS Liberty, Israeli foreknowledge of the planned bombings of the Marine barracks in Lebanon in 1983, Israeli foreknowledge and involvement in 9/11. If any other country were up to its neck in this kind of business the way that Israel is, they would have ceased to exist. They would have been turned into a parking lot. Okay, it is only Israel that is allowed to get away with doing these things, and at which point you have to ask yourself, when you're dealing with intelligent men such as Jerome Corsi and others, you have to ask yourself, how is it possible that these intelligent men, well-read men, men who live and breathe politics in the fashion that they do, how is it possible for them to entertain these kinds of opinions when you have so much objective, verifiable fact out there that would lead any right-thinking, patriotic individual to conclude this thing stinks to high heaven? And what it boils down to, as we have seen time and again when it comes to public figures, they will not touch this subject because they know that if they do, it's the kiss of death. And so I'm sorry, I'd like to be able to present it in a much more palatable fashion than that, but that is what it boils down to. It's just simple fear of what will happen to them if they stand up for what they know is objectively the truth.
Well, you know, when you look at that whole situation in that context then, Mark, are we to see, with what you've just said, are we to see publications like Human Events, the so-called National Conservative Weekly since 1944, and Joseph Farah's WorldNet Daily? Is that pretty much the spin that we should have as America First conservatives on those magazines and outlets?
Absolutely, Mark. Anybody today, any person, whether they are running a publication, whether they are running any kind of news or analysis organization, and if they're not touching on the issue of Israel, then you have to discount or at least hold in suspect everything that they're saying. Now, this is, let's just put this in context. You know, 40 years ago, we were at the height of this thing called the Cold War. Now, we had the Soviet Union that was, at least from what we had been told, out to destroy us. They were armed to the teeth. Can you imagine anybody at that time trying to argue the point the Soviet Union is no threat to the United States? They are just being misunderstood, and it's all because of anti-Russian sentiments that people entertain these kinds of ideas. They would have been run out of the country, or even more pertinent, let's look at it in terms of Nazi Germany. Let's say that Hitler had come to power and was posing the threat that he was posing to Europe and to the world. And imagine at that time people trying to make the argument that there was nothing wrong with him. Now, I'm not making any kind of judgment. I'm just basing this comparison on what we consider to be conventional understanding of what took place at that time, okay? I mean, I know there's a lot of history involving Hitler and Nazi Germany and all the rest of that that we could go into, but we're not going to here. But the fact of the matter is that all of these individuals right now who want to sidestep this issue of Israel and Zionism and the influence that it has, not just over our politics, but over our culture as well. Anybody who wants to sidestep that, they fall into one of two categories. They're either stupid, meaning that they can't see what is patently obvious, or they are running a disinformation campaign. So whether this is something that they are wittingly doing or something that they're doing because they are being pulled by forces more powerful than them, it doesn't matter. The ship has been struck, and it is taking on water. And at this point, anybody who knows this and who makes complaining about the bad food in the mess hall the topic of what they're going to discuss for the day, obviously you can see why such people are not working in our interests.
Well, let's take a look, if you've got just, I don't know how much time you've got this morning, Mark. I know it isn't much time before you've got to be on an airplane going to Washington, so you just let me know when you need to go. But in regard to what you've just unfolded for us, I'm reminded of what you're saying in the current American Free Press, at least the edition of June 4th. Title of your article is Israel Unrepentant About Spying, Zionist Appalled at Ambassador's Comments About Turncoat Jonathan Pollard. In this regard, U.S. Ambassador to Israel Richard Jones made some really candid remarks about Jonathan Pollard. He was speaking at a conference at Israel's Bar-Ilan University on Israeli-American relations. Jones was quoted as saying unapologetically that, quote, Pollard took money and sold out his country, and the fact that he wasn't executed shows that he was treated mercifully, unquote. That would have been what I would have said, certainly. But yet, in the same vein, subsequently, Jones tries to remake his remarks. He depicts them later as being, quote-unquote, misinformed and misleading. He goes on to say that, quote, they reflect neither my personal views nor those of the Bush administration. He goes on to say that I do not personally believe that Mr. Pollard should have received capital punishment and was appalled to learn that I had given that impression, unquote. What gives with this guy Jones?
Well, once again, I mean, when the heat comes down, you know, people start backpedaling and trying to cover their rear ends. Now, what happened is that his comments, from what I can tell in analyzing the original story, he must have received some adversarial questions, because in Israel, Jonathan Pollard is considered something of a legend and a folk hero, and there are quite a few substantial movements to try to get him released. You'll remember Joe Cortina, who was on your program not too long ago. You know, when he was in Israel, he saw signs and graffiti plastered all over the place calling for Pollard to be released. And so I'm sure that he probably, this Ambassador Jones, was asked an adversarial question like, you know, how can you Americans continue to hold Jonathan Pollard as a spy? blah, blah, blah. And so his remarks were probably remarks that were defensive in nature, like, you know, you shouldn't be complaining about us holding him because we could have executed him. But nevertheless, the fact that he was forced to retract them shows you how powerful this how powerful the fear of the Jews is among our own government. The fact of the matter is that Pollard actually should have been executed, and I'm not even speaking theoretically here. I'm talking about the letter of the law, because he betrayed nuclear secrets to the state of Israel, which were then sold to America's enemy at that time, the Soviet Union. And the specific passage of the Espionage Act specifies that anybody involved in endangering the people of the United States in a fashion that involves nuclear weapons, that it does call for the death penalty. Okay, so the fact of the matter is that even the fact that Pollard was not executed shows that he was given special treatment as a result of this this relationship that exists between the United States and Israel. So, once again, it's just more of the same. And this is the thing. Until the American people come to understand that it is not their country anymore, it is not their government, that we are being held hostage by a foreign hostile power, then we're never going to get down to the business of fixing and taking back our country.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. 40 years ago today, June 8th, 1967, Israel attacked the USS Liberty. Stay tuned.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
We're back. This is Mark Anthos coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're spending just a few minutes with Mark Glenn this morning of the American Free Press. He is en route, or will be shortly en route, from Minneapolis to Washington, D.C. to cover the USS Liberty Survivors Convention, which is meeting later today in Washington. It was 40 years ago today, June the 8th, 1967, that Israel deliberately attacked the USS Liberty for a series of reasons that are still being uncovered, not by official investigations, because the official investigation covered up the truth, but by those who continue to dog the story all of these years later. And, of course, it is very noteworthy that Dean Rusk, Richard Helms, and Admiral Moore all affirm without equivocation that Israel's attack was deliberate. They knew exactly who and what it was that they were attacking. The full context of what Rusk, Helms, and Moore say happened is, however, still being uncovered. Peter Hunan has talked about a lot of this with his book, Operation Cyanide. I hope at some juncture that he has an opportunity to be interviewed by Mark Glenn for the American Free Press. I'd also like to get him on this show to discuss what it is that Mr. Hunan uncovered when he really started digging into this whole business of what was actually behind what Israel did 40 years ago today. There's an interesting quotation, by the way, folks, from Jonathan Pollard, the great traitor to America. Should have been executed, was not executed. Israel is absolutely, as Mark Glenn's article indicates, is unrepentant about having utilized Pollard to spy against the United States. But Pollard himself, during his interrogation, said, quote, "The U.S. government shouldn't give high security clearances to Jewish people because when asked for help, we're willing to do anything for the love of our country, Israel." Mark Glenn, if you're still there, unpack that quotation for us.
Well, this is, you know, it's funny. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine yesterday before leaving, and we were talking about, you know, much of the same stuff that you and I are discussing right now. And, you know, for the last 2,000 years, the Jewish people have been dogged by this stereotype that they have no loyalty to the country in which they live, and that they always consider themselves to be separate. And because of this, they're considered to be a nation within a nation, and that they have divided loyalties. And of course, you know, you have groups such as the ADL and other groups who scream to high heaven whenever anybody suggests that this is the case with them. And yet, you know, now we have, so that the Jewish people have an opportunity of a lifetime with regards to what is going on right now in Israel and the United States, and in particular with this war. They have the opportunity right now to stand up and speak out against this thing that everybody else in the world understands is objectively an evil thing. And yet, for the most part, with the exception of a few individuals and a few groups, for the most part, they sit there and they remain silent. And so we have to look at this in context of what Pollard said and understand that to a certain degree, this stereotype that they have suffered from is something that they have brought on themselves.
We'll be back, hopefully, with Mark Glenn of the American Free Press for a few more minutes. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
A message for all.